It's indeed a joy to be with you to share the Word of God. I didn't know who I was going to be preaching to. I didn't know if I knew many people here. I know a few of you, so God bless you, Brother William. What happened? You turned gray 20 years ago. You look different. But praise the Lord. God is good. I never cease to marvel at that simple lesson our brother shared about the wise men and the foolish man. Their houses looked the same on the outside, but there was something structurally different. And even so today, I believe there are people, there are Christians that look okay on the outside, but inside there's something missing. Well, the burden on my heart tonight is not something new. I have probably nothing new to share, but rather I desire to together stimulate our thoughts, our minds, our walk with the Lord to encourage us. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 for our text tonight. There's a few fascinating incidents in the Old Testament when the Israelites, when Moses followed the commands of God and built that tabernacle and set it up, set all the furniture in place and provided the sacrifice on that altar. Scripture tells us that the cloud covered the tabernacle there. The glory of God came down. And in another place it says that fire fell down from heaven and consumed that sacrifice. Also in a later time, when Solomon built the temple, and he likewise prepared an altar and laid sacrificer on. And again, as he prayed, the glory of God, the fire of God came down and consumed that sacrifice as a sign that God was well pleased. God's blessing was there. And there's another one, Elijah on Mount Carmel. You know the story, the contest between Baal and the true God. Again, everything was in place, and prayer was made, and fire came down and consumed that sacrifice. You and I here this evening, many of us, I believe, are born again. We have said yes to the call of God on our life. We had been transformed, sanctified. God has lit a fire on our altar, as it were. And my question tonight is, what keeps that fire burning on your altar? Is that God's responsibility to keep that fire burning on your altar? Is that up to God? Or is there something that I need to do to maintain that fire? Many people today, many even so-called Christians today, they don't have God in their picture. God is not in their picture. They think they can do it by themselves. But this evening, I just want to again remind us of the treasure that we have, the Word of God. And I want to challenge you and myself tonight. What am I doing with the Word of God? Do I value the inspired Word of God enough to pick it up daily and read it and study it and allow it to illuminate my eyes spiritually so that I can know the heart of God for myself? In the Jewish home, it is said that a Jewish boy by the age of 5 was considered old enough to start studying the scriptures. In fact, if a father neglected to start teaching his son when he started to speak, if a father neglected to start teaching his son at that age, it was looked at as that father is burying his son. Basically, he is wasting his son's life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Paul's words to Timothy here. Very familiar words. Let's read them together. Maybe we can stand for the reading of the word, those who can. Stand with me. And let's read together 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Are we ready? "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you this time. We pray that your word would be illuminated, that your Holy Spirit would fill every heart here, and that the words that are shared, the thoughts that are presented, could be from you and could encourage us. Thank you for the treasure that we have in your word. Bless us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Word of God is able to make you wise, the Scripture says here. Is there anybody here this evening that desires wisdom? Here is our answer, beloved. Wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Why that the man of God, that the woman of God, that every person who names Christ may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I think we all desire that. I think we all do, to be of such caliber people, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Lift your Bibles here tonight. Let me see your Bibles. How many of you have Bibles here? Hold them up high. Praise the Lord. You may put them down. Now let me tell you something. This might shock you. This book is worthless like this. Did you know that? Unless you open this book and read it, it's worthless to anybody. Let us be of those who open the Word of God, the treasure, and read it. Don't let it sit on your shelf and collect dust. I think many of our homes probably have multitudes of Bibles, one for every room. I don't know. Let us use them. The Holy Bible, it is a sure guide to our way to eternal life. In our way to eternal life. A sure guide in our way to eternal life. Fire on your altar. Is it burning tonight? Are you maintaining that fire? You know, tonight, what you do with this book, the Holy Bible, what you do with it personally will determine what God does with you at Judgment Day. This book, the Holy Bible, will keep you from sin. And beloved, tonight, sin will also keep you from this book. Never forget that. Sin will keep you from reading the Bible. This book, the Holy Bible, it gives you a purpose in life like nothing else can and ever will. A purpose in life. What are you doing with this book, the Holy Bible? The fire on your altar, is it burning tonight? The poet has written these words, "Thy word is like a garden, Lord, with flowers bright and fair. And everyone who seeks may pluck a lovely cluster there. Thy word is like a deep, deep mind, and jewels rich and rare are hidden in its mighty depths for every searcher there. Thy word is like a starry host. A thousand rays of light are seen to guide the traveler and make his pathway bright. Thy word is like an armory where soldiers may repair and find for life's long battle day all needed weapons there. Oh, may I love thy precious word. May I explore the mind. May I its fragrant flowers glean. May light upon me shine. Oh, may I find my armor there, thy word my trusty sword. I'll learn to fight with every foe the battle of the Lord. Let us dig for the hid treasures in God's word. You may take the Bible away, and you lose the entire message of the Christian faith. Yet today, many would say that they believe the Bible. Many believe the Bible. Yet half of the Americans who say that say the Bible is too hard to understand, to read. And very few actually pick it up and read it, the Holy Word of God. I trust that's not our testimony here tonight. Let us value this treasure written in 2,656 languages have all or some of the Bible today. Some 6 million copies of the Bible are bought and distributed in the U.S. every year. Incredible. 65 million copies. Nothing is as close as that in second. The average household has at least 3 Bibles, and I think that's probably pretty mildly stated for most Anabaptist people. However, people cheer the Bible. People buy the Bible. People give away the Bible. People own the Bible. But very few people pick up and read the Bible. 65 million copies sold a year, yet very few people actually read the Bible. Did you know that in less than 10 years, any textbook is out of date? An encyclopedia is worthless. A library is a cemetery of dead books and dead ideas. But this book keeps on living. Hallelujah. It keeps on living right on, even though science has laughed it right out of court. Over 200 years ago, Voltaire said, 50 years from now, the world will no more hear about the Bible. Self-selected scholarship has pronounced it out of date, the Bible, and dead. Again and again, its funeral services were held for the Bible. And lo, before its critical mourners have returned to their homes, it has arisen from the dead. It has passed with surprising speed the funeral coaches and is found in the busy centers of life, thundering against evil, revealing the secrets of the heart, offering consolation to the sorrowing, hope to the dying, and flashing forth from its quivering vital pages the wonders of the age, coming age, Christ, Christianity, and the Bible. Beloved, what will you do with this treasure? The question could also be asked, what will the Bible do for you? What does the Bible do for us? It is not enough, beloved, to know all the doctrines, all the creeds, have everything in place. That's not enough. It needs to be reality in my heart, in your heart. These precious promises, these warnings, these words of life need to be reality. As I said before, let me say again, what you do with the Bible will determine what God will do with you. This book, the most powerful instrument that we have, the Bible is our strongest, our greatest source of survival in today's evil society. Do you believe that? I do. Beloved, it is imperative that we open the Word of God daily and fill our minds with truth so that we can confront the wickedness in our society. In fact, I would be as bold to suggest tonight that if you're here tonight and you're backslidden, you're falling away from your first love, it's probably because you're not reading the Bible. You have neglected the Word of God. I don't know you, many of you, but I think you probably all have, a lot of you have your own businesses. That's a good Anabaptist thing. Whenever you started your business, what did you do? You took time and effort and you labored to know your product and to get to know your certain thing there. Well, even so, beloved, in our Christian walk with God, in your Christian experience, how imperative is it that we likewise pick up the owner's manual, the Word of God, our roadmap to heaven, to eternal life, and study it and learn it and apply it to your life. What will you give in exchange tonight for the Word of God? I wonder, what are you willing to give in exchange for the Word of God tonight? A few weeks ago, on a Sunday morning in our town of Mifflinburg, there was a family lost their house in a fire. And one of our church families was on the scene, one of the first ones there. And the fire started in the back end of the house, and the residents never knew their house was burning until someone knocked on their door and said, "Your house is burning." Interesting to observe what the owner went after to try and salvage for his prized possession. What was it? It was his treasure, his guns, whatever he had. That was his treasure. I ask the question tonight, what are you willing to give in exchange for the Word of God? If you would have a choice to take one thing with you and leave the rest behind, would it be the Word of God? I don't know. I trust it would be. I know we have freedom here in this country. But in many countries where the word is not as free as we have it here, people treasure, they value their Bibles even above, I think, anything else in their life, any material blessings that they might have. Well, let's open the Word of God further and allow the Bible to teach us on really what it is. Is the fire burning on your altar? I ask again tonight. The Bible, the Word of God. Listen to these verses as I read out of Psalm 19. David's words, David's testimony, David's very thought of his heart. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Again, are we simple? Yes, we need wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? The Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. What do you pursue in life, beloved? What is your utmost pursuit? Is it for gold and silver and precious jewels, or is it for the Word of God and its treasures that are hidden therein? Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. We like rewards, do we not? In keeping the Word of God, there is great reward. Indeed, there is. George Mueller, I think a man that we all know, have read about, a great man of faith, he said, "If the Lord fails me at this time or any time, it will be the first time." George was a man of great faith. He said further, "I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about. I pray as I lie down. And when I rise up, and the answers are always coming to my prayers. Thousands and ten thousands of times my prayers have been answered," his testimony. When once I am persuaded that a thing is right and for the glory of God, I go on praying for it until the answer comes. George Mueller. He read the Bible through about 200 times in his life. 200 times, George Mueller. When asked on his deathbed what he would do different if he could, his answer was, "I would read the Bible more. I would make more of the Word of God." What a testimony. What a challenge that is to me. To light, keep that fire lit on my altar. The Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. The Word, the Bible, it endures. It is a word that endures the test of time. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven," David writes in Psalm 119. "Thou art near me, O Lord, and thy commandments are truth." Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall endure," how long? "Forever." Shall stand forever. And Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." The enduring Word of God. Beloved, do you realize the treasure that you hold in your hands? Do you value it as a treasure of God? The Word of God, it is food for the soul. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Beloved, even as your baby on your lap, even as a baby needs food to survive, likewise, we as God's children need the Word of God and to eat of it and to drink of it and to hear from God, or else we will die. Jeremiah chapter 15, Jeremiah says these words, "And thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Is that our testimony? I trust it is. The Word of God. The Word of God is divinely inspired. We read that scripture in Timothy, 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. "For we have a more sure word of prophecy," Peter says, "whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The divine, inspired Word of God. The Bible, it's composed of 66 books, written in about 15 different centuries, by nearly 40 writers who occupied different stations or occupations in life. From the king on his throne to the captive in a heathen land, from the educated Moses and Paul to the unlearned and ignorant Peter and John, written before, during, and after Israel was a nation. And yet, And yet, beloved, through it all, there is a beautiful and impressive harmony which proves conclusively that there is a mastermind which inspired it all. Praise the Lord. It's not just man's word. It is inspired by God, written by men who were filled with the Holy Ghost. The word of God, its precepts, beloved, need to be in our heart. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we know the verse there where Moses spake to the Israelites and commanded that the word would be taught. It would be put on the doorpost. It would be written. It'd be taught to the children there, written on our hearts. Psalm 119, another verse, very familiar verse. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. The word of God in our hearts, beloved, will keep us from sin. And sin will keep you from the word of God. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The word of God, it gives us spiritual light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path. Not only does it give illumination for the present, but it gives illumination for what's ahead and coming, a light to our path, a lamp to our feet. God's word is that. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It gives light. Are you walking in darkness tonight? Allow the word of God to illuminate you, to give you light, to show you God's will for your life. Shame to us Christians, beloved, who feel little affection for the word of God, little affection for the holy, inspired word of God. It needs to be loved by God's children. The law of thy mouth is better to me than 10,000s of gold and silver, David writes in Psalm 119. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Do you love the word of God this morning, this evening? Do you love the word of God? Is it precious to you? Do you value the treasure that it is to us? Or will you, like Judas, will you sell that treasure for 30 pieces of silver, just like Judas betrayed his Savior? There's a story of a Chinese man that is always a blessing to me. Let me just share it with you. In light of the Word of God requiring obedience in our hearts, the Word of God is to be obeyed, is to be followed, is to be applied. That's one of the strongest marks, I believe, of a true Christian, is if he is living and walking in obedience to the Word of God. Obedience to the Word of God. John Sung was a young Chinese man that came to America to go to college and to be educated. And he was a very smart young man. He actually earned 3 degrees, and he was always the top of his class. His classmates envied him. But one day, John Sung met God, and everything was radically changed. He now became the object of ridicule and mockery from his classmates. Even to the point where they said, John, you have gone crazy. And they put him into a psychiatric ward and wrote him off as mentally ill. But John was a smart man, and somehow, I don't know how he did it, but somehow he was able to escape that psychiatric ward, only to be caught again and thrown into that prison. In despair, in that cell, in despair, he cried out to God and said, God, why? what do you have for me in here? And God clearly told John, I have you here in my school. You're going to be here 193 days, and I'm going to teach you my lessons. John found a Bible in that ward and picked it up and started reading the scriptures. 18 hours a day, John read and read. He read the Bible through 40 times in those 193 days, 40 times, and he was illuminated. His fire was burning brightly. He was on fire for God. After he got out, he headed on a ship and headed back to China. And on his way back, his 3 degrees that he worked so hard to earn in college, he threw into the ocean and watched them disappear. He no longer needed those. He had God. He had the Word of God burning in his heart, and that's all he needed. And he became a missionary to his native people in China. John Sung died at 43 years old, burned out for God, sold out for God, and burned out for God, all because of the power of the Word of God got a hold of his life. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is a crushing hammer. The Word of God is a life-giving force tonight, beloved. The Word of God is a saving power. Remember that day when you said yes to God? The Word was alive. It was real. It saved your soul. How is it today? Is that fire still burning on your altar? The Word of God is a defensive weapon against our enemy. Never forget that, beloved, tonight. The Word of God is a probing instrument. The Word of God purifies our life. It sanctifies us. Jesus said, "Thy word sanctifies." Oh, we need that, do we not? Sanctification, I need that in my life. The Word of God is able to do that. The Word of God, written with purpose, for a purpose, to guide us and to lead us. The Word of God is sacred, not to be altered. It says in Revelation that if any man shall take away or add thereto, God would take his name out of the book of life. Beloved, tonight, let us not be guilty of cutting portions of God's word out because we don't like them. We don't like to read them. We don't like to apply them to our life. Never, never do that. The word of God is given to us to study, to search for the hidden truths, even as the king searches out for treasures, the Bible says. Seek out the Lord. Study to show yourself approved unto God, Timothy writes, or Paul writes to Timothy. The word is absolutely trustworthy. Do you believe that tonight with all your heart? What God says, he means it, whether you believe it or not. It's settled. God's word is truth. It is forever settled in heaven, whether I believe it or not. Absolutely trustworthy. God's word promises a harvest to the sowers. Praise the Lord. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall come again, doubtless come again, with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Are you faithful in sharing God's word with the community here, where you work, wherever? Are you faithful in being a sower of the word? The word contains a message to be delivered. We are not just saved to live here. We are saved to tell the world of the coming judgment and point others to Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples before he left, "Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." Jesus' message to his children today. D.L. Moody, another man that I think we have read a lot about. D.L. Moody was a famous evangelist, famous preacher, teacher. Thousands were converted under his preaching. D.L. Moody was a man that was not satisfied with his own life. And time and again, he would find himself on his knees begging God for more faith, begging God for a deeper relationship with him. He would weep before God, asking God to do a deeper work in his life. One day on his knees, weeping and crying out to God, he opened his Bible and his eyes fell upon this verse in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. D.L. Moody, he changed his schedule. He made time for the word of God. He took time to read the word and to study it, and his heart became illuminated with fire and with a passion like never before. In the end of his life, he said, I contribute all my success to God and to the reading of God's word. God's word. I ask you the question tonight again, is the fire on your altar burning? Is it alive? Perhaps some of us need to do as 2 Corinthians chapter 28. Let me just read a few verses here. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And it came to pass, verse 11, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Maybe that's where you're at tonight. You know you have failed, neglected God and his word. Maybe it's time that you rent your heart before God and allow God's word to become real to you again. Find time to saturate ourselves in the word of God. Very, very important. You know, our forefathers were willing to suffer, were willing to hide in caves to preserve the word of God for their children, to suffer persecution for their children. I wonder today, what are you doing? What are you doing so that your future posterity can have the word of God? Are you willing to spend time in it? Allow it to guide your life. M.J. Smith wrote these words, and I close with this. Cling to the Bible, though all else be taken. Lose not its promise, precious and pure. Souls that are sleeping, its echoes awaken. Drink from the fountain, so peaceful, so pure. Cling to the Bible, this jewel, this treasure, brings life eternal and saves fallen men. Surely its value no mortal can measure. Seek for its blessing, O soul, while you can. Lamp for our feet that in byways have wandered. Guide for our youth that would otherwise fall. Hope for the sinner whose life has been squandered. Staff for the aged. And best book of all. Cling to the Bible. Cling to the Bible. Cling to the Bible, our lamp and guide.